Sometimes I don't know what else to say except, wow. Thank you for leading us into the presence of God. Once upon a time, there was this Italian named Cornelius. He was a good guy. I mean, a really good guy for an Italian. Cornelius was very religious. He gave lots of money to poor people, supported the local food banks, a rescue mission, and homeless shelters. He prayed all the time, and he really loved God and worshiped him. But for Cornelius, this wasn't enough. He thought there must be more to religion than he was experiencing. He was trying to practice the religion of the Jewish people. The problem was, he wasn't a Jew. He was Italian. And Jews didn't much like Italians or any other people that weren't Jews. They wouldn't even eat with Italians. I don't think it had anything to do with Italian food because everyone loves Italian food. Italians were in what had been called the deplorables. It was not politically correct for Jews to associate with his kind. It was politically incorrect. It was unacceptable. And God looked down and said, these people don't know politically correct. In fact, the term politically correct actually had not been invented yet that we know of. Even though people treated others with disdain and disrespect as the deplorables, that word was still an unspoken term in the minds of arrogant people. There was no left-wing press or right-wing conspiracy, no campus police, no safe speech zones. There was no talk radio, MSNBC, CNN, Fox News, or WikiLeaks, Twitter, X, or Truth Social. So God decided to help out this Italian by sending an email. Email is a message by an angel, in case you're wondering, in a vision. This angel told Cornelius to send for Simon, not the Simon of American Idol, but Simon, who is also called Peter. Jews aren't supposed to have idols, American or otherwise. But it was Simon, Peter. And meanwhile, in an entirely different city, Simon, who was called Peter, was trying to pray, waiting for lunch. Actually, I think he took a nap, which happens to a lot of us when we try to pray. Anybody? Good. Peter had a dream from God. And in this dream, God told Peter to do something politically incorrect. God told him to eat some things that his religion said were deplorable. His Jewish religion said no to certain foods. And God was now saying, I want you to eat this. Peter said, no, I've never done anything politically incorrect or religiously incorrect for that matter. And God said to him, don't call it politically incorrect when I've made it politically correct. Don't call something deplorable when I've made them special. Don't call something wrong when I've made it right. This happened three times. God did this three times to emphasize the point. And because Peter, like some of our children, they had to hear it at least three times to hear it and understand it. Then Peter woke up. As he was thinking about what he had just been told, well, let's join the story. I told it mostly right in Acts 10. It's on page 892 in the Bible in front of you. Acts 10, starting with verse 19. Let's join the story. While Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, Simon, three men are looking for you. So get up and go downstairs. Do not hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them. Peter went down and said to the men, I am the one you're looking for. Why have you come? Then the men replied, we have come from Cornelius the centurion. He is a righteous and God-fearing man who is respected by all the Jewish people. A holy angel told him to have you come to his house so that he could hear what you had to say. Then Peter invited the men into the house to be his guests. The next day, Peter started out with them, and some of the brothers from Joppa went along. The following day, he arrived in Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them and had called together his relatives and close friends. As Peter entered the house, Cornelius met him and fell at his feet in reverence. But Peter made him get up. Stand up, he said, I am only a man myself. Talking with him, Peter went inside and found a large gathering of people. He said to them, you are well aware that it is against our law for Jews to eat with Gentiles or visit him. But God has shown me that I should not call any man impure or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without raising any objection. May I ask why you sent for me? Cornelius answered, 4 days ago, I was in my house praying at this hour, at three in the afternoon. Suddenly a man in shining clothes stood before me and said, Cornelius, God has heard your prayers and remembered your gifts to the poor. Send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He is a guest in the home of Simon the tanner, who lives by the sea. So I sent for you immediately, and it was good of you to come. Now we are all here in the presence of God to listen to everything the Lord has commanded you to tell us. Then Peter began to speak. He said, I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts men from every nation who fear him and do what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, telling the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil because God was with him. We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was seen by all not by all people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Then Peter said, can anyone keep these people from being baptized with water? They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have. So he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked Peter to stay with them for a few days. This is one of the most significant events in the book of Acts. Every society, every culture has social norms, moral guidelines, and acceptable behavior. And when we operate within those norms, we don't offend anyone. And our behavior is accepted. It's politically correct. But if we violate those norms, guidelines, and behaviors, if we offend the sensibilities, we become politically incorrect. And what God asked Peter to do so violated the social, cultural, and religious norms of the Jews that it was deemed totally inappropriate, entirely unacceptable, and therefore politically incorrect. But God was ready to bring the good news of Jesus to all people. All people. The gospel of Jesus had been preached in Jerusalem to all the Jews. We read later that Philip brought the news of Jesus to Samaria, those of mixed race, those that were called Samaritans. Now we discover that the gospel of Jesus came to the rest of the world, to the Gentiles. The Gentiles. To the Jews, It was them and the deplorables. They didn't want to have anything to do with them. I have two older brothers. And when we were little, my mom was reading a story about Jesus and the Jews of his day, God's chosen people. And one of my brothers asked, "Are we Jews?" And my other brother quickly replied, "No, no, we're reptiles." He got it a little mixed up, but get the point. God had chosen a people, the Israelite nation, descendants of Abraham, to be a special people. It was through this nation, this people group, that all the peoples of the earth were going to be blessed. That blessing was a relationship with the one true God, with Yahweh. They had been all these other gods and all these things, and God revealed himself to Abraham, and through this nation, children of Abraham, he was going to reveal himself to the entire world. And the Jewish people were given a franchise, literally. Literally, they owned the rights to this relationship with God. Non-Jews could become believers and worship their God too. They were called proselytes in the New Testament. But they were never really in until Jesus. Jesus. Jesus came to bring a relationship with God, forgiveness of sins, salvation, and eternal life for everybody. The Jews, even us reptiles. The followers of Jesus, just took a while to figure that out, to know. So what did Peter learn from this experience? And what can we learn as the people of God from this account? These are lessons for Peter and for us. First lesson, letter A, is do not judge people by outside measurements. Do not judge people by outside measurements. Do not judge people by externals. Don't judge people by their race, their religion, their position, their career, their dress or the clothes they wear, the money they have, the car, their hairstyle, the number of body piercings or tattoos, the size, the height or weight or abilities or looks. Peter judged Cornelius by outside measurements. He was this Italian. Peter said, "Cornelius is Italian or a Gentile. It's politically incorrect to associate with a non-Jew or even eat with one." Well, today it's politically incorrect to practice prejudice. I know it's all over the place. We're not supposed to be prejudicial. But we all have prejudices, if we admit it. Don't confuse me with the facts. My mind is already made up. Prejudice. Prejudice is a great time saver. It enables you to form opinions without bothering to get the facts. Lots of us think we're thinking, but we're just rearranging our prejudices. It's been said prejudice is a lazy man's substitute for thinking. Prejudice. It's still very much of a reality today, even though it doesn't get the same kind of attention that it did early in the 1960s during the Civil Rights Movement. The most well-known prejudice today is racism. And of course, we see all kinds of accusations of racism. And most of us would say, well, I don't practice that. But other prejudices are alive as well. There are certain people maybe you have a hard time with. Are there certain people you just kind of don't want to associate with? We love to look at outside measurements and judge. Maybe it's a certain race or nationality. Maybe it's Muslims or people of Middle Eastern descent. Maybe someone have a particular political persuasion. Maybe it's people poorer than us or people richer than us. I've seen prejudice against people of wealth as well as prejudice against people who are poor. Maybe it's the homeless we look down on since we have a home. Of course, many people are just one paycheck away from homelessness. Street people, immigrants, illegal immigrants, drug dealers, gang members, prostitutes, exotic dancers like the ones I talked about last Sunday. Many people that we judge Peter judged by the fact that Cornelius was not a Jew. He was an Italian Gentile. By the way, if you want to find out where I got the fact he was Italian, first verse of verse 10, it says he was known as a centurion from the Italian regiment, just in case you're wondering how I got that. There's going to be somebody who said, where'd you get Italian? Okay, verse 1 of chapter 10. God says to us then and now, do not judge by outside measurements. Number 2, God does not play favorites. I always thought God loved Norwegians best. You know, I grew up Norwegian, and, you know, my parents taught me to be proud of our heritage and found out that wasn't necessarily true because we were in Japan. He loved everybody. God treats us all equally. We are all special to God, and he looks at our hearts, not our outside measurements. 1 Samuel 16:7 says, the Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. So God does not play favorites. Thirdly, God loves people of every kind. God loves people of every kind. If you're here this morning and say, I really don't think God loves me, you are mistaken. God's love is not inherited like some pedigree or estate. God's love is not earned by some external action that we take. God's love is not earned by some internal change we make. The message of Acts 10 is a word called grace. Grace. It's unmerited, undeserved favor for all of us. God loving through Jesus the unlovable, the unlovely, the unattractive, those politically incorrect at heart. Of course, the Bible says we're all unlovable. We've fallen short. None of us is good enough for God. We're all in trouble. But God loves us anyway. Bible says God demonstrated his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Jesus died for us. He didn't wait till we got everything together. Some people think I've got to get everything together before he'll love me. No, we come as we are. He died for us while we are still messed up. Lessons for Peter and us. Don't judge people by outside measurements. God doesn't play favorites. God loves people of every kind. And Peter came to Cornelius to bring a message. What was that message? The message from Peter, verses 34 to 36. Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts men from every nation who fear him and do what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, telling the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. That message is, first of all, through Jesus we can have peace with God. Through Jesus we can have peace with God. God is not mad at you. Okay. I talk to people on occasion, and they just have this preconceived notion that somehow God is mad at them. And maybe you felt that way. Maybe you feel that way today. God is not mad at you. Peace with God means we can have an open relationship, an unhindered right relationship with the one who created us, a personal relationship with our Creator. Several years ago, there was a Hindu temple that was opened in Seattle. And the Seattle Times interviewed the Hindu priest, and they quoted him. And I think it's very important that we understand what they were looking at. He said this, Hindus believe humans are locked in a cycle of life, death, and rebirth, and that through good actions and contemplation, an enlightened person can achieve moksha, or escape from the cycle and have union with God. That was his definition of peace with God, attained by good works and contemplation. That is religion. I talked about that at the end of last week. That's religion. Christianity is not religion. Christianity is a relationship. It's a relationship. Religion is to please and appease fear and never know if you've done enough to please the deities. Christianity is to love, be loved, accepted, talk with, relate to. It's an open relationship with God. Cornelius, in our story, and his household had sincerely tried to earn that relationship. But it's not through what we do, but through what Jesus has done. It's through Jesus that we can have peace with God. Secondly, in verse 38, it says, through Jesus we can be delivered from evil. Letter B. Through Jesus we can be delivered from evil. Is there any evil in the world around us? My goodness. It's coming more and more to the front. We say, can things get any worse? Is there any evil in Eau Claire today? Is there any evil? Let's bring it close. Is there any evil inside each one of us? Oh, you weren't supposed to say that. Is there anything inside of us? Evil is the power of the devil, and Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. He came to deliver us from the power of that evil and fill us with good. He came to destroy the works of evil and to change us from the inside out. Peter told Cornelius, and he tells us, we do not have to be controlled or influenced by evil. Jesus came to deliver us from evil. Then we get to verse 39. It says, we are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. The basis of this power is, letter D, Jesus died, rose from the dead, and we saw him. Jesus died, he rose from the dead, and we saw him. See, a dead Messiah doesn't do anybody any good. A dead Messiah doesn't do anybody any good. A good example, maybe. They set a good example. Maybe some nice teaching. Maybe great memories of nice times together. We look at picture albums and home movies and say, remember when this, remember when? Christianity is not about some sentimental picture album, a sentimental journey, or home movies about remember when. The main message of Christianity is that Jesus is alive. We celebrated that last week. We should celebrate it every day. Jesus is alive. And we saw him alive. See, a dead Messiah doesn't do anybody any good. Many religions have dead messiahs. They have dead founders. A live Messiah, that's something to celebrate. Jesus is alive. That's why we have new life, power, healing, and deliverance from evil. Then the fourth part of Peter's message, critical part of this, everyone who believes in Jesus receives forgiveness of sins. Everyone who believes in Jesus receives forgiveness of sins. Verse 43, all the prophets testify of him that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. What happens when we have a fight with somebody? What happens when we have a fight, a conflict? There's a break in our relationship. There's a schism. Do you like to be around someone that you had a fight with? How fun is that? It's uncomfortable. Unresolved conflict. It's cold, it's anger. Don't touch me. There were guilt, misery. Then what happens when you take that situation? I know some of you never had a fight. That's okay, but those of you, just pretend, okay? You had a fight, and then you reconcile. What was it like when you reconciled? When we forgive one another? The ice melts, we laugh, we might cry. We talk and we begin to have an open relationship. One of the purposes of having siblings is to go through that process. One of the purposes of marriage is to go through that process. Fight, reconcile, you learn how to deal with differences. People in your work environment, it's part of the process. We have that relationship. Well, our natural state with God is one of conflict and fighting. We're in enmity against God. We exercise our will against God's will. It says we're enemies of God and we're racked with guilt. Jesus came to forgive and to bring us forgiveness of sins. He is constant in his love and he constantly reaches out to us. All throughout the Bible and all throughout history, this is the God who continually reaches out to restore relationship no matter where we go. Look at the story of the prodigal son. Constantly the father was reaching out, looking for his son, a way to reconcile that relationship. That's what God is all about. Jesus came to bring that forgiveness. We don't earn our way back to God's graces. Jesus did that. Jesus died for us. Jesus died for your sins so that we could have forgiveness. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All. Peter was talking to an Italian Gentile and his group who were trying desperately to earn their way into God's good graces, peace with God, and have forgiveness. And Peter says, everyone who believes in Jesus receives forgiveness of sins. What does it mean to believe in Jesus? First of all, we talk about this, I want to review. We believe he's the Son of God, we believe he loves us, believes he died for our sins and was resurrected and alive. One of the critical verses is Romans 10, 9 to 10. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. I talked to somebody once and they said, you know, I always thought I was saved, but I never really believed that Jesus was resurrected. And when I did, that's when I got saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, is your mouth that you confess and are saved. And again, intellectual belief is inseparable from action. Intellectual belief has to be combined with trust, trusting in. We believe the facts and we place our confidence in, trust in what he has done, not what we can do to bring forgiveness. And that brings peace with God. Then we get to verse 42. It says, he commanded us to preach to the people and testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and dead. Letter F, Jesus is the one to judge. We don't have to play that role. We look on the outside measurements, God looks on the heart. Jesus is the judge, not us. Sometimes we have to make judgment calls, but we're not the judge. Jesus is the judge. Very quickly, five results of the message. Results of the message. First of all, changed lives. In an instant, when Jesus came on these Gentile believers, they were changed forever. It's a supernatural event. Peace with God in an instant, in a moment of time. What Cornelius had sought for so long, he now possessed. Secondly, forgiveness of sins. By receiving this free gift of Jesus, his guilt was now gone. He was free. He now had this open relationship with God called peace with God. Let us see, he was filled with the Holy Spirit. Filled with the Holy Spirit. Do you need power? I don't know if you ever say, you know, I don't feel like I have quite enough power to live this life, the life of faith. You got it. You got it. It says he filled him with the Holy Spirit. The evidence that they saw were power of the Spirit. They were speaking in tongues. And secondly, praise. Praise. Now, next Sunday, just a preview, next Sunday, there's a lot of confusion about what that means. They spoke in tongues and did all this other stuff. Next Sunday, we're going to find all the answers to that. Yeah, I'm just kidding. What we're going to do is we're going to look at all the instances in Acts where it says the Holy Spirit came on them and the results, etc. And I want to unpack that as best I can so that we can see a lot of what that means, because there's a lot of confusion. Whole denominations are set on one side or the other, and we're gonna see what does it say in the book of Acts. When the Holy Spirit came, we're going to look at the Holy Spirit's work next Sunday. Not only did they have power, but they began to praise God. They began to praise God. They began a lifestyle of praising. We can praise and worship God every day, moment by moment. Praise and worship isn't delegated just to service, Sunday service. It is easier to praise God in a group that's also praising God. It's like it's a lot easier to cheer for the Green Bay Packers when you're in Lambeau Field with a crowd of all thousands of people than it is watching the game on TV in your rec room in the basement. Okay? I admit. Now, some people, I think I can say this. When Brittany watches a game of any time, any place, it's like there's a crowd in there because, whew, yeah, you know, it happens. She didn't hide that. She doesn't need a crowd to get excited. So we'll be on the other side of the house and, whoa! And I'm going, what happened? Yeah, they made a touchdown. Or, yeah, whatever it was. Okay. Praise. The fourth result, surprise the Jews. See, when God works, he surprises all of us. And here God did what was called a politically incorrect. He changed everything forever. Changed everything. This event says to us, we're in too. Unless you're a Jew, right now, us all as Gentiles, that means that we are part of this church that began that day that says all people can be believers in Jesus and partakers of the kingdom of God and the power. Don't take that for granted. These people had waited for years until this day happened. Then they had baptisms, a public declaration of faith, an outward act signifying that inward transformation. Politically incorrect. What has God been telling you to do that is politically incorrect? Has God told you or impressed you to reach out to someone outside of your group? Like this Italian, maybe they're seeking, looking, searching for meaning in life, for peace with God. That's a question all of us need to think about, because now you may not get an angel visitation. You don't need an angel visitation. You got it here. Okay? That happens. Or are you here this morning and you need this message from Peter, that through Jesus you can have peace with God, through Jesus you can be delivered from evil, through Jesus you can have forgiveness and have that relationship with God. Your life can be changed today. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you included this story in the book of Acts, because we need to know that we can enter that relationship with God. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would give us a new awareness today. I think we have it on the PowerPoint. If you're here this morning and you've never found this new life in Jesus, this prayer, I'm going to pray out loud. You can pray it silently as I pray it aloud. And if you mean this, this can be the beginning of new life for you today. It says, Lord Jesus, I need you. I believe you are the Son of God. Thank you for dying for my sins. I believe you were resurrected from the dead and live today. Forgive my sins. Take charge of my life and be my leader. Amen.